Shalom and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a daily Bible reading podcast that goes through the whole Bible in a year. We follow along with the weekly Torah portions and read daily from the Torah, the prophets, the writings, and the apostles. If you want to learn more about the podcast or connect with us online, find us at dailybreadmoms.com. There you'll find information about the journal. That's the Bible reading plan that we use, which Bible translation we use, and how to contact us. You'll also see information about how you can support the podcast by becoming a patron and how we can connect with you more. We've got some new things for our sweet patrons and are excited to let you hear from us in more ways beyond the daily Bible readings. So find us at dailybreadmoms.com. We look forward to connecting with you. Let's get to our podcast episode for today.
Shalom, this is Karen, and I am your reader today. Today is Thursday, April 11th. Which is also the third of Nisan on the Hebrew calendar. Our parasha, or Torah portion this week, is Tatzerah, which means she will conceive. And our reading today is going to be in Leviticus 13, 29 through 39 for the Torah portion section today. Today in history, the Levites are ordained to serve in the tabernacle. This tradition comes from Numbers chapter 8, verses 5 through 22. Then after that, the Levites went in to perform their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and before his sons. Before we get started reading our Torah portion, let's take this moment to bless God and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to his people Israel and to all peoples through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. When a man or woman has a plague on the head or on the chin, then the Kohen is to examine the plague, and behold, if its appearance is deeper than the skin, and the hair in it is yellow and thin, then the Kohen is to pronounce him unclean. It is a scab, zarahat of the head or the chin. If the Kohen examines the plague of the scalp, and behold, its appearance is no deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair within it, then the Kohen is to isolate the person infected with the scab for 7 days. On the seventh day, the Kohen is to examine the plague, and behold, if the scab has not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the appearance of the scab is no deeper than the skin, then he shall be shaved, but he is not to shave the scab. The Kohen is then to isolate the one who has the scab for 7 more days. On the seventh day, the Kohen is to examine the scab, and behold, if the scab has not spread in the skin, and its appearance is no deeper than the skin, then the Kohen shall pronounce him clean. He is to wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spreads in the skin after his cleansing, then the Kohen is to examine him, and behold, if the scab has spread in the skin, the Kohen may not look for the yellow hair. He is unclean. But if he sees the scab is stopped and black hair has grown in it, the scab is healed and he is clean. The Kohen shall pronounce him clean. Suppose a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, bright white spots. Then the Kohen is to examine them, and behold, if the bright spots on the skin of their body are dull white, it is a harmless rash broken out in the skin. He is clean. That was Leviticus, or Vayikra, chapter 13, verses 29 through 39. In our reading in the prophets or the Nevi'im today, we are reading in Isaiah or Yeshayahu, chapter 30. Oy, the rebellious children, it is a declaration of the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my ruach, so they may add sin to sin, who go down to Egypt, but did not consult me, to take refuge in Pharaoh's stronghold, to seek shelter in Egypt's shadow. Therefore Pharaoh's stronghold will become your shame, and the shelter in Egypt's shadow will become your disgrace. For though their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors reach Hanes, they will all be ashamed of a people who cannot profit them. They are neither help nor profit, but shame and disgrace. The burden concerning the beasts of the Negev, through a land of trouble and anguish, in which are lionesses and lion, viper and flying serpent. They are carrying their riches on the backs of young donkeys, their treasures on camel humps, to a people who cannot profit them. Egypt's help is futile and pointless. Therefore I have called her Rahav, who just sits. Now go, write it on a tablet for them, and inscribe it in a scroll, so that it may be as a witness, for the last day forever. For this is a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to obey the Torah of the Lord. They say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth words. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn away from the path. Let's hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and rely on perversity, therefore this sin will be to you like a crack bulging in a high wall about to fall. Its collapse comes suddenly, in an instant. Its collapse is like smashing a clay jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a shard will not be found among the pieces to take fire from the earth or scoop water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord Elohim, the Holy One of Israel, by repentance and rest you are saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing. But you said, 'No, we will flee on horses.' Therefore you will flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you will flee until you are left, like a flag on the top of a hill, and like a banner on a hill. Therefore the Lord is longing to be gracious to you. Thus he will be exalted, so he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. For the people of Zion, who are dwelling in Yerushalayim, will weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears you, he will answer you. Though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of oppression, your teachers will no longer be hidden, but your eyes will see your teachers. Your ears will hear the words behind your saying, 'This is my way, walk in it.' When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver and your metal images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a minstrel cloth. You will say, 'Be gone.' Then he will give you rain for your seed, which you will sow in the ground, and bread, the produce of the ground, will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will feed in wide open pasture. The oxen and the young donkeys that till the ground will eat seasoned fodder, which has been winnowed with a shovel and pitchfork. There will be on every high mountain and on every lofty hill streams running with water on a day of great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days. In the day the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds he afflicted. Now the Lord's name comes from afar, burning with his anger in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of indignation, his tongue like a consuming fire. His ruach is like an overflowing torrent rising up to the neck, to sift the nation with the sieve of the worthless, to put in the jaws of the people a bridle that leads away. You will have songs as in the night when you keep a holy festival, a gladness of heart, just like one walking with the flute to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. The Lord will make his gracious voice unheard, and reveal his arm descending with fury in a consuming fire, in cloudburst, ransom, and hailstone. For at the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be terrified. When he strikes with the rod, every stroke of his punishment, road that the Lord brings down on him, with tambourines and harps, and battles brandishing his arm, he will fight against them. For Topheth has long been ready, preparing for the king. The fire pit made deep and wide, a pyre of fire with plenty of wood, the breath of the Lord, like a torrent of brimstone, set it aflame. That was Isaiah chapter 30. And now for our reading in the Ketuvim, or the writings. We are in Proverbs chapter 13 today. A wise son heeds his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good things, but the treacherous crave violence. He who watches his mouth protects his life, but whoever opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The slacker soul craves, yet has nothing, but the diligent soul will be satisfied. A righteous person hates lying, but the wicked acts in shameful disgrace. Righteousness guards one who walks in integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. One pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor person hears no threat. The light of the righteous shines brightly. The lamp of the wicked was snuffed out. Arrogance yields nothing but strife. Wisdom belongs to those who take advice. Wealth gained by fraud dwindles, but he who gathers by labor increases. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Whoever despises instruction will pay a penalty. But whoever respects a mitzvah will be rewarded. Wise instruction is a fountain of life, turning one away from snares of death. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Everyone shrewd acts with knowledge, but a fool flaunts folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful envoy brings healing. He who spurns discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever accepts correction will be honored. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but food detests turning away from evil. He who walks with wise men is wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Misfortune pursues sinners, but prosperity rewards the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. The fallow field of the poor yields much fruit, but it is swept away by injustice. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent with discipline. The righteous eats to his heart's content, but the belly of the wicked goes hungry. That was Proverbs, or Mishlei, chapter 13. And now to our final reading today in the Apostolic Writings. We will be reading James, chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, do not hold the faith of our glorious Lord Yeshua the Messiah while showing favoritism. For if a man with a gold ring and fine clothes comes into your synagogue, and a poor person in filthy clothes also comes in, and you pay special attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say, "Sit here in a good place," and you say to the poor person, "Stand there," or "Sit by my footstool," haven't you made distinctions between yourselves, and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor person. Isn't it the rich who oppose you and drag you into court? Don't they blame the good name by which you were called? If, however, you fulfilled the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," you do well. But if you show favoritism, you are committing sin, and are convicted by the Torah as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole Torah, but stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of it all. For the one who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the Torah. So speak and act as those who will be judges according to the Torah that gives freedom. For judgment is merciless to the one who does not show mercy. So speak and act as those who will be judged according to the Torah that gives freedom. For judgment is merciless to the one who does not show mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have work? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in shalom, keep warm and well fed," but you do not give them what the body needs, what good is that? So also faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone else said, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works." You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But do you want to know, you empty person, that faith without works is dead? Wasn't Abraham our father proved righteous by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith worked together with his works, and by the works his faith was made accomplished. The scripture was fulfilled that says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a man is providing great righteousness by works and not by faith alone. And likewise, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also proved righteous by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. That was James chapter 2, If you're going through the apostolic writings twice this year, today you'd also be in Matthew chapter 2. That concludes our readings for today's podcast. And until next time, busy moms, this is Karen wishing you shalom from the Golan Heights.